Distinguished biographer Hermione Lee is known for her lives of Virginia Woolf and Willa Cather, among other subjects. Now Lee's long-awaited biography of Edith Wharton has just been published, and book critic Maureen Carrigan has just resurfaced after a long, long read.
Edith Wharton's signature subject as a writer was paralysis. Over and over again, Wharton imagines characters so hemmed in by social expectation and their own personal constraints that at the crucial moment, they can't act. Lily Barton, Lawrence Selden, the main characters in Wharton's 1905 breakthrough masterpiece, The House of Mirth, are so frozen into their social roles they can only declare their love for each other posthumously. Newland Archer in The Age of Innocence stares mutely at the home of the woman he loves, missing his final chance to connect with her. And Ethan Frome, in the gothic short story that bears his name, summons up just enough strength to try to break out of his grim marriage, only to find that his escape catapults him into a live burial. The commonsensical take on Wharton is that she wrote so vividly about paralysis because she experienced it firsthand. After all, Wharton debuted into the society of Gilded Age New York at a time when well-born women were expected to be passive virgin sacrifices on the altar of marriage. Even in her midlife transformation into a celebrated author, Wharton has been diminished, usually playing second banana to her great friend and mentor, Henry James. Hermione Lee, Wharton's latest biographer, will have none of this nonsense. Throughout her impressive, exhaustive, and yes, sometimes exhausting new biography called briskly Edith Wharton, Lee gives us a Wharton who always rose splendidly to the occasion, whether that meant dealing shrewdly with publishers or arranging a quiet divorce from her raving husband Teddy Wharton or touring battlefields and founding charities in France during World War I. Lee's Edith Wharton is the kind of vigorous heroine that Wharton herself never created. What's especially impressive about Lee's biography, and I don't mean this snidely, is that she fashions this revisionary and convincing reading of Wharton as dynamo, despite the fact that a lot of first-hand evidence is missing. Wharton destroyed much of her correspondence, as did Henry James, and so Lee's biography is dotted with rueful sentences like this one. Much of what Wharton felt is hidden from us. Fortunately, one person who squirreled away Wharton's letters was the great love of her life, Morton Fullerton. Fullerton was the 42-year-old journalist whom Wharton fell passionately in love with in Paris when she was 45 and still shackled to Teddy. Fullerton was a spendthrift, divorced bisexual who, when he began carrying on with Wharton, was involved with several lovers, one of whom was his own adoptive sister. Yet Wharton recalled their first meeting this way: "The moment my eye fell on him, I was content." Fullerton must have been magnetic, but one of the limitations of biography as opposed to fiction is that Lee can't dramatize Fullerton's charms, and he just comes off as a snake, slithering out of Wharton's life with the hackneyed line, "You'll write better for this experience of loving." There are other failings in Lee's comprehensive life of Wharton, most of them imperfections arising from overabundance. Wharton lived from 1862 to 1937, and much of her life was very social, so that Lee's account sometimes reads for pages like an appointment diary. Wharton wrote a lot of sensationalist magazine fiction, and Lee wades through too much of it. She also devotes too much space to Wharton's writing on house decoration and gardening. Even HGTV enthusiasts will find themselves benumbed by all these details about doorknobs and geraniums. A larger, unavoidable problem is that Wharton herself frequently comes off as unlikable, especially by the standards of our post-Imus age. She was a society snoot, a sexist, a racist, an anti-Semite, and a stodgy foe of the younger generation of modernist writers like Fitzgerald, Woolf, and Joyce. And yet there is, against the odds, the achievement of that writing life and those books, the greatest of which, Lee argues, is the underrated 1913 novel, The Custom of the Country, in which Undine Sprague figures as the carnivorous, anti-heroic inverse of the paralyzed characters Wharton creates elsewhere. Lee is such a superb and thrilling reader of the Wharton canon that she's got me vowing to reread Wharton again, to savor, as Lee astutely puts it, her style of hard, penetrating, analytic realism about a society that Wharton said was wholly absorbed in barricading itself against the unpleasant. Wharton may have been unlucky in love, but she has been lucky in securing the informed and infectious reverence of her latest biographer.
Maureen Corrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed a new biography of Edith Wharton by Hermione Lee.